This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Say, PTBN, have you heard them yet? Oh, but they're so mocked out. Jenny and the Jams. Oh, but they're weird and they're wonderful. Oh, Jenny, she's a really queen. She's got electric boobs. The network, too. You know, I read it in the dirt. She's a hoe. Jenny and the Jams.
Hi, welcome to Jenny and the Gems. My name is Jenny. I'm here with my three beautiful gems. First up, Matt Souza, how you doing tonight?
Good. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. And I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to everybody for what we're about to put you through.
How dare you, sir? This is going to be the peak of all podcasting that has ever been done. So I don't even know what you're apologizing for. Scott, how are you tonight?
Good evening, Jenny. Good evening, Mr. Suze, and good evening, everyone. I am thoroughly pumped for this because I want to get pumped up for coupons and innovative ways for shelf space, because that's all we're talking about tonight. Yes, and wrestlers' virginities, but that's later on. First off, we're going to smack the sugar. Another sordid bad cereal puns.
Terrible. Drew, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Hi, everybody. After some of the speeches that we've heard, I'm ready to go to war.
Yes. We're mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore. That's what I heard. Yep. So, from the Hidden Gem section, we kind of went off the rails. Like, that's saying anything about this show, but I think to this point we've watched some pretty interesting things, definitely hidden. I don't know if you'd call them gems, maybe last times, perhaps the all-nighter was a gem, but this is weird. So you guys brought this to my attention, and I honestly don't remember who brought it up first.
Oh, I believe this was a Matt Souza special.
I was thinking that it was. Matt,
yeah, it was definitely Souza-licious.
How did you hear about the Battle of the Breakfast Cereal?
I was going through the Hidden Gems one day, and I saw the title Battle for Breakfast Cereal, and I needed to know what it was. And the rest, as the kids say, is history.
So, this is from the... Does anybody have any background on this, or is, I mean, I didn't bother to like Google it or anything because I felt like you guys might have better stories than I could read.
it was evident that, I mean, and Drew makes a good point. We talked about it before we went on the air, that this is as hilarious as the next however long we go tonight will be. Because we're just that damn good at entertaining you with whatever the fucking shit we get thrown at us. This set, unfortunately, unlike the others, like the Bash was the peak of Crockett, and like everything we've watched thus far has been the peak of whatever promotion we're in that we're talking about. This most definitely was not the peak of AWA, that's for sure. So a little background. Kellogg's, the cereal powerhouse, decided to have their... I guess 1989 national sales conference or whatever in Minneapolis, which just so happened to be not only the home of the AWA, but also the home of General Mills, which is the competitor of Kellogg's. Mm-hmm. So in some infinite wisdom, I assume that Vern Gagne, who at this point was, you know, pulling pennies out of a bank to not live in a mud hut, decided to go to the Kellogg's people and say, hey, why don't we entertain all of your sales dorks with some fine wrestling? And the Kellogg's guy said, fuck, why not? Here's a check. Yay! And here we are. Pretty much what it is.
Honestly. And apparently the war that we're going to hear about is still going on to this day.
Of course it is. Failed.
You know, both companies are obviously still in business, and I think it's really like a still a very contentious, you know.
It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Absolutely, yeah, it's generational.
So, all right, I guess let's just talk about this fucking show, man.
So what is it? Give us just a little bit of setup here.
Dude, first of all, the setup is when you go to the network, you have to search for breakfast to find this. And it's pretty much the only thing that you'll find under breakfast. So it's not super hard to find. You just have to spell out that whole word to get to it. And so we get like a announcer kind of guy, like a commentator, and now like telling us what it is. But even then, it's still not super clear what it is. And then we get a ring announcer who reminds me of Bash from Glow.
Yes, I thought the same fucking thing.
The Netflix show.
I totally thought that was Bash.
He sounds just like him, and he's dressed just like him.
And his hair was the same almost, too, except a little
darker. Yeah, and so he's in the ring, and the ring is like, I really am curious, like, where did they film this, because, or hold this, because it's, I can't tell what it is. Is it a gym?
No, it's the hotel.
It looked like a hotel ballroom. Okay.
Conference room, yeah.
No, Larry Nelson, who's the AWA announcer, said it at the beginning. They're at the Hilton or the Hyatt in downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah, they can't afford the Hilton.
Well, you could tell by the exactly. It'd probably be a Motel 6. But you could tell on the floor, because you could tell that it's carpeting. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a ballroom. There's no doubt about it. It's definitely a ballroom of the hotel that they're in.
Yeah. Well, it's classy.
Warren was not going to book the. It is classy as fuck, right? They weren't going to book the fucking Metrodome for this nonsense, that's for sure. But as good as it was going to get right here.
Red Roof Inn was more their territory at this point.
Yes. Vern was on credit there, so I don't know if they were able to go there.
So they, the announcer pretty much starts with doing something that threw me off, which was he announced all the wrestlers one by one, and they each just kind of came out. It was like a parade of wrestlers. And I was like, wait, who's wrestling who? And I'm like, we're not there yet. This is just like the cast of characters. Right. Was anybody thrown off by that?
Yeah. And there's just this slow unraveling of what the event actually is.
Yeah.
And it's just the thick drama in it is really something to behold, because as it becomes more clear, it's like they really, you know, tease out the tension, and it's really something.
You got the heels carrying out the boxes of cereal, throwing it into the crowd, and
and the people throwing the cereal back at them.
What a moment. It was like ECW. It was before ECW was ECW.
this was like kindergarten ECW. Instead of frying pans and hockey sticks, it's boxes of fucking total.
Corn pops.
Oh my God. Corn pop to the eyes. Oh, God.
So a couple of our wrestlers here are Total the Terrible, Nutra Rockne, Hondo the Honeybee Haymaker, Mr. Opportunity, The General, Dr. K, The Mills Brothers, and S&M, which stands for Sales and Marketing.
Sure. Yeah. That's what it stands for.
Greg Gagne thinks that's what it stands for, because he doesn't know any other meanings. So.
Yeah, so I was still trying to figure out what this was, really, by the end of this whole parade. And it started to dawn on me after Mr. Scott Richards gets in the ring and gets a mic and starts hyping up the crowd. And he's cute because he has these little cute cue cards. And he's reading all his little comments from his little cue cards. It's like he was trying to be cool, but he really has no idea how to do that. Or I was trying to, like, take it seriously, but it was very, very difficult because He tries to mix in like this business speak in with this like wrestling hype, and it's this very odd like businessman promo. I don't know. Thoughts on this one, Scott?
Well, I mean, I like that he's like Mike. He picks up the Wheaties box. Michael Jordan. I used to like Michael Jordan. Dude, it's funny.
Right.
Just get over yourself, okay?
I think
you're not going to win with your weird.
I think he pulled about seven muscles throwing that box, too.
Yes, exactly. It's fucking Wheaties, dude. You're going to lose. Move on. I don't know what kind of. My favorite is and you know, and I like Kellogg's for the most part. I mean, to me, cereal. But what made me laugh is he got so pumped up. Like, Honey Nut Cheerios, like, flows off the tongue. It's a pretty, like, smooth, awesome-sounding cereal. But this fucking guy goes, no, we don't need that. We don't need Honey Nut Cheerios. We've got Nut and Honey Crunchos. And I'm like, that's the most generic crap I've ever heard in my life. And he was so, so convincing, too. Look, guys, we've got Nut and Honey Crunchos. I'm like, it's so generic. The box might as well be white with black letters. It's not as generic as you could possibly get. Like, fuck, man. Honey Nut Cheerios rule. It's like, I used to like Michael Jordan. Yeah, well, he doesn't know who the fuck you are, dude. He's going to spend the $10 billion he got to go on the Wheaties box. Guess you didn't spend the money on Michael Jordan, did you, sucker? So, you know, it's just so funny. They tried so hard, and all these little, you know, sales nerds are like, yay, we're cool. You know, it was, I don't know. He wasn't as good as the next guy, the next sales guy. He was awesome. We'll get to him in a minute.
I compared Scott Richards to, like, a less motivated Matt Foley.
I'm gonna leave the general down by the river.
Smoking your doobies in the back of the seat of the car.
Well, eat it. You're total with your hands.
Oh my god. When he took the kicks and he tossed it out in the crowd, just like he was full of sass is what he was.
He was very sassy. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. I actually thought he was much more infuriating than the guy that's coming up next. I think if the AWA had hired him as their lead heel manager, they would not be going
he
out
has
of business
a little bit of a Bobby
Heenan
vibe to him.
He is despicable sounding. There's just something very rotten about him, and I can't quite place it, but he's really something. And at one point, he quotes, he uses the phrase, and he wants everyone to repeat it, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, which of course is a quote from the movie Network, which if you extrapolate the context of that movie out far enough, it's actually like an anti-capitalist movie. So, you know, for him to be screaming about that during his cereal war with General Mills is it's a little bit of a chef's kiss, as they say.
Yes, he didn't get it at all. And then he starts calling out like names of like salesmen. I mean, like, who is in this crowd? You know, I'm like, who is he pandering to? Is it like reps? Is it like marketing people? Are they like VPs? I mean, who are they?
I don't know. I assume it's some kind of a sales conference because the whole thing is very sales motivated.
But
it seems,
are there
so.
Like serial salesmen though? Like,
well, I mean, I guess I honestly, I have no idea, but I mean, I guess you have to be some kind of, if you're a big company and you're selling, you are selling a product, you know, you're trying to get distributors to take your product or grocery stores to take your product or something like that. I assume, I don't know.
The battle for end caps at Stop and Shop. Okay. It's just the way you over there, you don't want Total the Terrible in front of the macaroni, do you?
You know what I mean? Winner gets the spot right in front of the door at the Piggly Wiggly.
Exactly.
Right there. Right. Honey Nut Crunchos.
Right next to the army-shaped bud stand. You know what I mean?
Like, I just never imagined that was something that you had to, like, lobby for. Or, like, you know, really use your salesmanship to get you in good with the end cap guy. At the, you know what I'm saying? Like, It's just a very odd use of a skill.
No, I do have to ask. So I've worked in the public sector my entire career. Is this what happens at when you work for a regular company? Because is this a normal kind of event that takes place?
Well, I assume that if you work for a company that, you know, that's a product like that, I'm sure normally you don't have, like, I'm sure that you don't get wrestling companies to host your entertainment.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm sure the entertainment in some cases, depending on the product, is a little more mature, probably. Oh, but you know, the last thing, if I want to see somebody at a sales conference, my entertainment's going to be topless. I sure don't want to see Greg Gagne. So, you know, but I mean,
we see him topless.
That's my point. That's what I mean. So,
hey, y'all don't know what these guys got up to after this little show was over with. So it's 1989. I'm sure they had some cocaine flowing, and you know, they probably made.
Did you look at these sales guys?
They thought it was cocaine was actually cereal dust.
Yeah, Nutri-Slim or whatever.
Ground up cornflakes.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's something we do need to mention, that Mr. Richards pours out a lot of cereal on the mat.
All over the place.
Yeah. All over the place. And so and this is before a single match takes place, so everyone has to wrestle in cereal.
Cereal. Yep.
It was like a death match. This kind of started the whole trend, I'd like to think.
Yeah, cereal death
wrestling
match.
Wrestling on broken glass and thumbtacks and Legos. This was a trailblazer, if you will.
I like that theory. I'm going to go with that. All right, so we get our first matchup. We have the Melee in Minneapolis. They name all of their little matches, which I think is adorable. This is Total the Terrible versus Nutra Rockne. Total is in the powder blue, and Nutra is red. All of our baby faces are in red, I believe, for this show. And
yeah, the heels kind of got the better uniform, the better ring gear, I think.
You know, I thought nice some of these jackets. Robes, yeah, these robes looked real good. I was impressed with the attention to detail, especially in the honeybee that we'll see later.
Certainly.
Yes. So, and then all the Kellogg's guys had these pretty awesome looking jackets, like, what do they call them?
They were like Arn Anderson jackets.
Yeah, like a Arn Anderson ring jacket. Sort of, yeah, looking thing. Yeah. It was red and shiny, and it said Kellogg's on the back. Looks good. Mm-hmm. So at least they put some thought into that. Other than that, this match is a bunch of arm drags and hip tosses between guys who look, you know, in good shape. I mean, they're not like all gross and pudgy. I mean, they look good. This is going to be one of my questions for you guys a lot tonight, but if you recognize any of these guys, please tell me who they are.
That's Mike Enos and Tommy Jammer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Mike Enos. Yeah. One half of the Destruction Crew. Mike Enos was Total the Terrible. And who was it? Tommy Jammer. Right.
Tommy Jammer.
What you said? Tommy Jammer was.
See,
these are all real wrestlers, Jenny. These aren't scrubs.
No, yeah, I know.
Tommy Jammer is like the lamest white meat baby face trying to be cool in the late 80s.
Ah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Well, that explains a lot then. Even though the commentator here is pretty funny to me most of the night, he says, "This has been a grueling match." And it was exactly the opposite of a grueling match, but he was trying. And then 8:06, your match time, Scott, and Rockne covers for the win. What did you think about this match, Matt?
Well, pretty basic, but you're going to see a lot of that during this thing.
Yeah.
This was all about giving the drunken middle-aged crowd a basic entertainment. Mm-hmm. And apparently, according to our announcer friend, Total the Terrible is banned from Michigan for walking old ladies across busy highways. So, I mean, if that's not a heel, then I don't know what is.
The entire state of Michigan, he can't go back to the
state.
Now,
shouldn't that be a nationwide ban?
I believe so, yeah. Jeez. You should definitely get kicked out of the country for that.
Good Lord. But, yeah, this was basic shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Scott, what do you think?
I mean, at least it was, you know, moderately decent TV wrestling. I mean, it didn't have, I will say this, the matches themselves didn't have too much gimmicky crap within it. At least the matches were moderately entertaining. I mean, you know, standard TV fare. You could have stuck these matches on like a weekly, you know, on like an AWA's weekly show and be fine with it. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, these people in the crowd were like half cheering. And I mean, you kind of knew that none of the Mills guys were going to win. I mean, obviously. So,
well, right. Yeah.
You know, so.
Incite a riot, for God's sake.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know, exactly, right? If Michael Jordan wins, we riot. So, yeah, that's pretty much, it was just to kind of get the crowd pumped up. But, I mean, hey, you know what? The guys got to work out. They probably got paid. Well, maybe got paid. This is Vern we're talking about. But, you know, it was pretty good fare, and you had two pretty good workers. So, it was fine for what it was.
Drew, what do you think?
Yeah, a very basic, rudimentary match. I think the wrestling is the least important thing that we'll be talking about throughout the night. But I did want to say this whole thing feels like someone's someone who's not a wrestling fan putting on what they think a professional wrestling show is.
Right.
Like
it very much feels like a TV show where one of the characters ends up in a wrestling match or ends up going to a wrestling show. Yeah. And even like the name, what's it? Crunchos, Nut and Honey Crunchos. That sounds like, that sounds like a television show series.
Yeah,
that
it
doesn't
does.
Sound real.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
That
made it even better.
Yeah. So it's just this totally surreal experience that you're watching. I will say the crowd at first, I thought, oh, they're like piping in. Because I watched, you know, the pilot that we're going to get to later, but I watched that first. But it sounded like they were piping in booze and stuff, but I don't think so. I think the crowd was just hot.
It, man. Yeah.
They were into it.
They were.
So, I don't know. Good for them. And if the wrestlers got some free cereal out of it, then, you know, it's as good as money. You have to eat.
another thing that I wanted to mention is that the ring is so like floppy, like it's so loosely constructed or something. I don't know. The ropes don't seem very tight and it's bouncy. You know what I'm saying? So it makes for an interesting watch.
When you're putting the ring together with duct tape and bubble gum.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and you're in a room that's like the size of a bat of a clot of you know, Drew's bathroom. You're not exactly working with like the best equipment. It's probably like a phone booth ring. You know what I mean? It's not even. It's probably not even like the Metrodome ring. It's probably not even the TV ring.
All right. So next up we get. Oh my God, this beautiful, beautiful piece of whatever the fuckery this was. This guy, Tim Mobsey, the vice president of marketing for Kellogg's, comes up and he's wearing one of those slick red jackets. And he gets up to the podium. Now, I was surprised. Why is he not in the ring? Is this a more official sort of promo? Like, he looks like he's doing like a State of the Union of Cereal address or something, because he's very politician-y almost. It's like a campaign speech. It's like a stump speech. And he has this English accent. English? Australian? I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
No, he's British. Yeah.
He was British. British. Okay. He was British.
One of those criminal countries.
Yes.
I kid, of course.
And he does this long, like, spiel about this is war. It's a war of surprise. There are two major thrusts.
I thought he was going to start quoting Winston Churchill.
These are extraordinary times. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, I don't think he was just quoting him. He thought he was him.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then he just kept going on and on with like all this business speak of intelligence and tactical guerrilla products and more and better coupons and they were the enemy was going to penetrate our headquarters with a herd of moles, and it just went on and on, and I was dying.
That was the best one.
Dude, I just can't. It's just... Tremendous. It was amazing. Was anybody else losing their shit listening to this?
Oh, I was dying. I had to pause it.
Me too.
Fucking awesome. Oh, it was awesome.
The fact that he thinks that General Mills moles infiltrate the walls of Kellogg.
So fucking
he's crazy. So serious, though. Like, he sells it. Like that. It is brutal in the cereal game, yo.
Attack the sugar smack.
Shit's real, you know?
Death to snap, crackle, and pop.
The level of aggression and violence that he reaches is really, right? Really.
He's going to throw the fucking podium.
Yeah.
But he has this, like, sort of twinkle in his eye and, like, a grin, kind of like Ralphie from A Christmas Story. And so, like, he kind of turned, you know, like, he's kind of, like, doing the humors. He just has a very fun, like, delivery of all this. Like, serious, but this little hint of, like, slyness. And I think he might have been hitting, like, something in the bathroom. I don't know, but it was amazing to watch. And I hope this guy is, like, president of Kellogg's now.
Well, with that attitude, yeah, he'll get there.
I just hope he didn't have, like, some form of PTSD or something.
Yeah, he started...
He's on the front lines.
He was the right age to have been, you know, a child in World War II. So, you know, if he was living in Britain at the time, he could have been having flashbacks.
Thinks he's storming Normandy. He's really storming General Mills.
General Mills with the blitz. Blitzing us with kicks. The kicks blitz.
No, I don't. Did you guys catch that at one time he buries the wrestling on the show?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he does.
He calls it like this silly wrestling thing. Or something like that. And now, if Larry Legend had been there, he would have come out and dropped that jabroni on that stack of dimes he calls a neck, brother.
Well, he would have waited 10 minutes. Then he would have done it.
Well, yeah, he would have stalled first. Really taking him to Larry Land.
It was just awesome. Like, I thought he was going to start putting over, like, sales guys. No one can save us from the moles better than Bob Schwartz in the Kansas City office.
Yeah.
Yeah, he starts calling people out. Yeah, like Howard Dean.
Yeah.
You there, Phyllis Morgan from Topeka.
The Topeka office dominates the tag division. It's like, oh my god, this guy was fucking awesome. Well, he figured it's 30 years ago, so he's probably, what, depending on how old he was there, he's probably retired at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say dead, like, but, you know.
Probably dead, though, yeah.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, he had a heart attack.
He died in a bizarre cereal-related incident.
He died of diabetes.
He was penetrated by moles.
Yes. General Mills got him back for that promo.
He choked on Honey Nut Cheerios.
You know what, though? That actually, if you think about it, I know, Jenny, you were joking about him, you know, making little trips to the bathroom or whatever, but we know, of course, that cocaine does cause paranoia, and if he's thinking that there's moles coming into the Kellogg's offices and all that, you know what, he could have had a serious problem. So, you know, us joking about this might be wildly inappropriate.
Oh, well, since when do we give a fuck about that?
may he rest in peace.
Yeah, bless his little heart. I'm sure he's clean now. Next up, it is the terror in the Twin Cities. Hondo the Honeybee Haymaker with an awesome yellow robe versus Mr. Opportunity. Okay. He looks like a Michael Jackson cosplayer a little bit.
He does.
And okay, so tell me who these wrestlers are.
Wayne the Train Bloom. Okay. Mike Enos'
tag partner.
Yeah. What's it? Derek Dukes is Mr. Opportunity.
Opportunity.
Hey, Wayne Bloom was awesome here.
Yeah, he was.
Yes, he was.
He was really the no one else really, really, you know, got into character the way Wayne Bloom did. He was yelling at the crowd and all that. That was awesome.
He said, we're more nutritious.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. That was so the best good. Promo you ever cut.
And then he tried to use his robe as a weapon there for a second. I guess he thought
And some cereal towards the end of the match.
Yeah. He was like engaging the crowd and everything. That was fun. He kind of accuses the other guy of like holding on to his tights or pulling on his hair throughout the match. He chokes Mr. O at one point. There's a time limit on this match, and then 8 minutes in you get an 8 minute warning, which I thought was odd and random. And then he does this great cereal box spot, and then 9 minutes and 22 seconds in, Mr. O pins for the win. Shockingly. I thought this was fun. I enjoyed the haymaker during it, and 9 minutes is a bit long, but, you know, they had to work. They had to get their side headlocks in there. So, what do you think, Drew?
Yeah, I thought this was pretty good. Derek Dukes, or Mr. Opportunity, he was really working hard and going off the top rope and doing cross bodies and all kinds of stuff. And yeah, Wayne Bloom was really putting on a heel clinic for the crowd. Yeah, this was cool. I do think Derek Dukes, I don't know if he was selling at the end or if he legitimately hurt his knee, but he really started limping. And what a tragedy if you hurt yourself
during this. Yeah,
during this.
It was already taped up too, so.
Yeah,
maybe he kneeled on frosted mini wheats or something.
Yeah, cut his knee.
Blade it on Musilix.
What do you think of this one, Scott?
It was good. I enjoyed it. I think what's his name? Michael Dukes? Michael Dokes?
Derek Dukes.
Derek Dukes. Okay. I think he was like pining for like a real gig. I bet you he was, you know, maybe these guys will think I'm something special.
Yeah.
Sign me to a big time deal. Yeah. He was dealing like it was fucking Super Clash. I mean, it was, you know, I'm going to win it for Kellogg, man. Maybe Kellogg's will hire me for their road trips. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe he was looking to get a sales gig.
Yeah. He wants to work for the British guy, huh? Or Scotty Richards.
He'll be my mole.
He'll be my General Mills mole. Sneak into Michael Jordan's house and change the contract, you know. It was pretty good. It was good. I mean, again, I as much as all the ancillary stuff is what the nonsense is. But I mean, the matches really weren't that bad. I mean, they could have been a lot crappier, and they weren't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the wrestling was worse than what we're going to watch next. But this wasn't bad. Again, as Drew said, Wayne Bloom's a stud, and him and Enos as the Destruction Crew were a great tag team at the time. So they're prime, and Dukes was out there maybe looking for a job. So that was fine with me.
Maddie?
Yeah, pretty basic, but still, you know, pretty fun. And like Scott said about the previous match, this one's like more of the same. You would have seen this on like whatever AWA TV had at this point. They were probably off ESPN by this point. They were, I would imagine. But yeah, this was fine.
All right, moving on to the brawl near St. Paul. Fabulous names here. The General versus Dr. K. More great gear here on the General and also Dr. K, who rocks his red satin, I don't know, some sort of material jacket that I really do love.
Oh, it's that.
Yeah, okay. So the General is decorated with all these medals and, you know, he has fatigues on and everything. The General was just released from the brig for trying to drown Captain Crunch at a FMI show in Chicago, according to commentary, which I thought was funny. I thought this match was pretty stiff. I guess as... Oh, tell me who the wrestlers are.
Well, the General is Colonel De Beers, who was a longtime heel in AWA. Mm-hmm. And you should... You've watched enough Crockett, Jenny. That's that was Wahoo McDaniel.
I thought it was, but I did not do any research. I wanted to hear all my information from you guys. So, in my head, I was like, dude, that looks like Wahoo, but it's so hard to tell without the headdress sometimes. So, okay.
in a true moment of sadness, when Wahoo comes out, that's when the reality sets in.
How the hell did they trick him into doing this?
I know, seriously, he had to have gotten the biggest check of anybody.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Because didn't he have a lot of money problems towards the end? I know Flair has talked about that, how, you know, he felt really bad for Wahoo and no one took care of him and that kind of thing. So this was a sad display.
Oh, was it?
Well, I mean, you know, he was very much past his prime, and you know, given what we know about him, that, you know, he probably really, really needed this gig. You know, he wasn't in the best of financial shape, I don't think. So,
well, it goes 8 minutes and 12 seconds, and of course, Dr. K gets the win. How did you like this one, Matt?
I thought this was the best match of the. I don't know. Are we calling this a show? What the hell are we calling this?
Yeah, we'll call it a show. Shit show. I mean, call it
the conference. Call it a conference.
All right. Of the best match of the conference was this one. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. I still can't believe they got Wahoo to do this, but you know, he's the only one who got paid in cash while everybody else was getting paid in soup. But
kicks. And flakes.
Total.
Another great quote from our wonderful announcer here was that Dr. K takes pride in giving out free samples of agony.
Oh.
You know, Vern had to write that block. That is so Vern.
Who was the announcer?
He got blamed for.
Was it Larry Nelson?
It was Larry. Yeah, it was Larry. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it was Larry Nelson.
And
who's Larry Nelson? Am I supposed to recognize that name?
He's just a long time
AWA announcer.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a long time guy. Yeah.
But Jenny, before you ask, I know you need to know if certain wrestlers are racist.
Yes.
Colonel De Beers, quite possibly the most racist of them all.
Why is that?
I think Scott, you will expound on that.
Yeah, he was. Well, his character was based in South Africa, so of course in the '80s, South Africa, apartheid, etc. So he was. Let's put it this way: he wouldn't have wrestled with what was his name, Derek Dukes,
Derek
or whatever
Dukes.
The other guy's name was. Yeah, he probably would Derek have Dukes. Tried to find David Duke to wrestle this match, but. No, that was his story. He was this commandant of, white power. Although he didn't really say it. Let's put it this way. I always thought that it was a very unusual character for, like, white meat AWA to do. But it was pretty, even Vince didn't have the balls to, or even Southern Crockett didn't have the balls to have a racist guy in their company.
Yeah, well.
You know, so, I don't know. But, yeah, Colonel De Beers was a character that was alluded to being of South African perfection kind of thing.
God. All right.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Any other thoughts on this one, Drew?
No, I don't remember a single thing about this match.
Did you know Wahoo McDaniel was in it?
I did, yes.
Yeah, okay. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Dr. K.
Oh, Dr. K.
Hey, yeah, who's Wahoo? I'm not familiar.
Dr. K, on the other hand, he got paid very well.
Now we get... another marketing guy, Mr. Mike Simpson, the most boring of
total mid-carder.
Yeah, I was like, come on now, you can't end the show with this guy. But
yeah, look what he had to follow too.
Yeah, and so he like does like some lame joke about we're not gonna call him General Mills, we're gonna call him Private Mills, and it's like, oh my God, and
wait, what's his, what's the joke there?
Yeah, it's...
Oh. Private being the lowest rank in the military?
Yeah, I assume that's what he meant.
That took me a bit.
And,
it was a bit of a thinker, Drew. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's highbrow comedy. I'm not...
He tells some bullying story, and he's like, when I was bullied by some fucking moron, my dad said to punch him in the nose, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to punch the competition in the nose. Oh, my God. It was as good as the last guy was, is how bad this guy was.
As soon as he stood up, you could tell that he was bullied as a child, too.
Yeah, he looks like he's bullied as an adult. By
I've never seen cocaine.
By the top salesman.
Yeah,
he sounded like Kermit the Frog with a cold.
I was waiting for something Susalicious on that one.
I got another one. He also could have been the stand-in for the dad on Alf.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah. It's a good one, Willie.
Suze is on fire tonight.
Oh, as always.
The real actor's taking lunch. We need someone to stand in for the promotional shots. You there, Mike? Get over here.
Get over here.
The stand-in. Drop for the dad on Elf.
Oh God! What a sitcom. Not in the tournament.
Yeah. That's not in the tournament.
I don't think it was. No, it probably was. It's probably been long gone, though.
Oh, yeah, I think it got
bounced. Yeah, I could have sworn I voted for it, but I can't remember.
Yeah. No, I probably got bounced a while ago.
Yeah.
So that just brings us to our main event. Ryle in the aisle match for the In Your Space trophy. Oh, my God, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah, what was that? What was In Your Space?
I had no idea.
Was that the name of the conference?
I thought it was one of the slogans or something. But...
Yeah. I guess
it had to have been, because they talked about it all night, all game. I mean, all conference, they said.
Yeah, right. Since they were in General Mills space and in their territory and all that, I guess.
Oh, okay, yeah.
See, again, AWA being a trailblazer, this was the precursor to the In Your House pay-per-views. This is In Your Space.
Yes,
In
Your Space. You know? Oh, man. Hey, Greg, I'm going to borrow one of your track trophies. But, Dad, that's my track trophy. You think I'm buying a real trophy for this bullshit? I'm taking the trophy.
Did the AWA ever give away a house?
No. They certainly did not.
The state gave away Vern's house. In the
oh, there you go.
I don't think they had. That's a good one. Vern giving a house away. Yeah, that's great. Oh, man. That would have been good.
I'll give you the house only if I can live in it.
And you give me 2/3 of your Japan money. And all the total flakes you have. He lives in a house made of empty cereal boxes.
Oh my God. So this is a tag match, and I'm watching it now, and I just noticed that from where the Mills brothers come out, there's a sign that says bad guys. And then from where S&M comes out, there's a sign that says good guys.
Which I missed. The salespeople needed a little.
Yeah, clear. They had to like make it real clear for the dummies in the crowd, you know. So S&M, of course, means sales and marketing and not anything else suggested.
Of course not.
I feel like the Mills brothers are probably like the Bruise brothers of this promotion. Am I right?
Neo-Nazis?
Yeah. What are the real
boys?
What are the real wrestlers' names for this group?
It's Pat Tanaka and Paul Diamond, otherwise known as Bad Company.
Right.
And they would eventually go to the World Wrestling Federation as the Orient Express.
Mm-hmm.
Except Paul Diamond would have a mask on and become Kato! So, they would never have to wrestle for cereal again, that's for sure, once Vince started writing the checks. They were eating hot cereal at that point. They upgraded.
To oatmeal.
And eggs. That's they are. And of course, on the other side was Greg Gagne and Tom Zenk, the Z-Man.
Mm-hmm.
They were not the high... Maybe, I don't know, Suze, if you remember. Drew, maybe you do, but after Brunzell left, when Gagne teamed with Zenk, were they still the High Flyers, or were they just Zenk and Greg Gagne?
Oh, you know what? I have no idea.
I don't think they kept the high flyers, right?
I don't think so. But this is a period of AWA I'm really not very familiar with.
My notes here say that they are the sales and marketing team.
Zink's chuckling at the S&M title, S&M name, and Greg's like, I think it's pretty funny. Sales and marketing, ha ha. Zink's looking at him like, fucking dope.
Yeah. I really...
Sit down, Opie, I'll take this.
Yeah, pretty much.
I really hate the red, like, pants over or under the white tights. So it's like, it looks like a big old diaper and leggings on him. So, ugh. Bothers me a lot. And the match was like, okay, not great, kind of boring. The commentary again is funny. The ref does his job pretty well during this one, seeing the tags and whatnot. And then they go to a 10-minute warning, like probably like 6 minutes into it. So I think they were like, okay, fuck this shit. I'm ready for this to be over with. And S&M get the win. Thoughts on this one, Scott?
At this point, I'm sure they were just waiting for it to be over so they could go to the bar. So this was kind of a sprint to this. Yeah, this was kind of a sprint to the end. They got their sales pitches in. They probably didn't even want to do this match, but somebody had to win Greg Gagne's track trophy. So, this was a sprint. This was definitely kind of a sprinted mess. And Greg Gagne just doesn't look natural in fucking tights. It's so weird. It looks like a Halloween costume on him. I don't know what it is, but he just doesn't fit right. But you knew they were going to win, obviously. And I wonder if all the salespeople got swank. A fucking Kellogg's jackets. What do you think, Drew?
I sure hope so. Yeah. I'd wear one of those jackets. Those are nice.
I mean, if AWA wasn't footing the bill, they probably did.
Right.
We should get some Jenny and the Gems one made in that style. Y'all would definitely.
Yeah, embroidery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All have different colors for different gemstones. Ah, it's awesome.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Let's do it. I'm looking for those Kellogg's jackets on eBay right now.
Slightly used.
I would die if you found one.
Yeah. The jacket worn by the British guy. Yes.
Yes. That. Still has cocaine in the pocket.
Oh, shit. There's a white one, though. Oh, man.
A white Kellogg's one?
There's a white Kellogg's satin jacket. They're only $50. Pre-owned. Oh, there's got to be blowing it. Oh, yeah. Look at this. This is badass right here. It is unisex, so men or women.
There's a note at the bottom. Do not shine black light on this coat.
Yes. From 1989, Kellogg Sales Conference. Worn by British guy. Free overall. Better condition. I'm trying to see if there's like any description. Anyway, I'll keep looking. But, I mean, it was obviously, you know. They were trying to hustle out the door with that last match.
Yeah, pretty much. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, again, this was fine, but like you said, it was rushed. It felt like they only had the ring for the hour and had needed to get the fuck out of there. But
they had to sweep up all the cereal.
Yeah. And a actual quote from one Larry Nelson during this match: "The abuse poured on the S&M team." They knew.
He also said they think Scantrack is a scenic train. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? I was lost. Any ideas?
Yeah. Is Scantrack a sex thing? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Serial jargon.
Must be.
Insider lingo of the biz.
Bold terms.
New from the makers of Rice Krispies. It's Scantracks.
Sugar skin.
For all the moles in the audience.
Drew, you have thoughts about this one?
Nope, none at all.
All right, great. So, that's it. Show's over. Mr. Nielsen says that Kellogg's dominated the night, which, I mean, you know, he's not wrong. and that they came to win, and they did. So that's it. It's over with. Yeah, this was a fun ride. Easy hour watch, a little less than an hour watch, and I had fun. I don't know what you guys think overall.
I can't believe they taped it.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Like,
who the
why?
Fuck taped it?
Why? Who is this for? Are they going to put this out on video or something?
You get a free version of this when you buy 10 boxes of fucking Nut and Crunchos or
Best of Breakfast, Volume 1.
Volume
Best
1.
Of Breakfast.
It's the this show and tips on how to cook your eggs.
Lords of the Bowl.
Jesus. I'm starting to think the fix was in for Kellogg's, guys.
Yeah, I don't trust these results. Here. But do you think that more companies should have events like this? You know? Maybe some AEW talent going to some sort of, I don't know, Blue Chew convention.
The wrestlers are working as hard as our customers will be.
Ooh.
They could, you know, you could get a lot of great gimmicks out of that. I mean, S&M could come back and wrestle there too.
Some stiff forearms by Joey Janela. And speaking of stiff,
look at that great satin jacket Arn's wearing.
Right, I was gonna say they could. Yeah, I think there's potential for this. They need to bring this back as a team building exercise, because I feel like that's what it was basically.
It was. That's exactly what it was.
All right. That is it for that. So we have some awards to give out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They deserve it too. Yep.
The Diamond Award for our favorite match. I'm going to go with Wahoo. I mean, Dr. K versus the General. Matt?
Yes, I agree.
As am I.
Yeah. Drew?
Derek Dukes or Mr. Opportunity versus Hondo the Honeybee.
Okay, that's solid choice. Cubic Zirconia for worst match. Probably that last one, tag match.
Scott Richards versus the Box of Kicks.
The General versus the Box of Cornflakes. Drop the elbow on.
MVP. You know, I'm gonna go with our
That British guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Has
yeah,
to be.
Yeah, that's hands down. What was
I think I think he'd attack us if we didn't give it to him, for God's sake.
He would.
Yes, I know, really.
Tim Mobsey or something like that. So yeah.
Tim Mobsey.
It's a fitting last name.
I wrote down Mosby, but then I heard it Mobsy. So anyway.
Bowls of Mobsy.
Highlights. I really liked the commentary throughout. I thought that was nice. And because, you know, we on these shows, we don't get a lot of commentary usually during the gym shows. So it was nice to have some. And I really liked the ring announcer, Bash from Glow, and I enjoyed all the gear, like all the costuming. I thought looked really good. Everybody was on point, looks wise for the most part. So, Scott, what did you have for highlights?
Well, definitely Churchill's speech to storm the castle with coupons.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Bash was good on commentary. But the crowd was fired up, you know. Either they were fired up for that, or they were fired up for the free, you know, for the free pig and a pokes at the bar. But I was pretty excited. I thought it was fun, and I thought the salespeople got their point across, and the wrestling was, you know, as good as it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But again, just a sad thing for AWA to have to take money from a fucking serial powerhouse to keep the lights on.
Do you think they sold out, Drew? Did they sell out?
Oh, well, no, I think they were just trying to get to the next day.
Right. But,
yeah. I don't know. This was actually, if you look at it, like just this total surreal, total, no pun intended, this totally just surreal studio wrestling show. It's not bad. I mean, none of the wrestling was bad. The crowd was hot. There were promos. I don't know. You know, what do you want? They did an angle with this, right. You know, Scott Richards and his kickbox there. Kicks box.
What a weird thing.
just strange. Very bizarre.
Yeah.
Any other highlights, Matt?
So I got first of all, the general at one point stomps a box of Kellogg's cereal. I mean, mm-hmm. just as heel as you could be. I mean, my God. And at one point, there's a woman who sings the national anthem. I don't know if we mentioned that.
Oh, no, we didn't. I meant to.
Yes. Andrea something.
When she gets out of the ring, all the horny attendees start hooting and hollering at her. And then at one point, someone shouts, "Hey, animals, quiet down."
Also, she's like the least sexiest thing ever. She's wearing like this, like, ginormous dress. It looks like drapery or something. Like, it's not attractive at all.
But the best cereal money can buy.
I know, right?
Yeah. I thought she sounded pretty good, though.
She did sound good.
Yeah.
That's it.
Those horny cereal guys, you know, you gotta be careful around them.
Jeez.
Never know. They try to slip you a, I don't know, like try to slip you a Mickey in your cereal bowl.
The tainted cornflakes.
Yep.
Getting all their Reese's Puffs in a twist, for God's sake.
I want to tell you guys about what is happening here on the wrestling feed on the Place to Be podcast. JT's You Scott and Peter Winston are digging into the fallout of WrestleMania. Y'all took a look at the 4/28/90 Saturday night's main event.
Yep.
That was a fun listen. Also on the main event, number 141, you and Nate and Steve discussed the Royal Rumble fallout and looked ahead to Tampa and had a TNA Classic pay-per-view recap. Anything you want to say about that episode?
If you thought that my description of Colonel DeBeers was utterly offensive, listen to that TNA pay-per-view recap, because 2002 TNA is equally, if not more, offensive, and we did the best we could. But no, it was a solid listen. Please check it out.
All right. Also, you've been busy. You had a debut Pod Blast series with Dr. G, in which you have weekly reviews of NWA Power. Mm-hmm. Started with episode 16. Anything to say about that one?
Please check it out. It's a lot of fun. The doctor and I really break it down for you if you don't get a chance. We give people, you know, in fact, the newest episode went up today as we're recording. And check it out every Saturday morning. We give people a chance to watch it, and then we talk about it. I'm really excited about how the NWA is growing. It's becoming a promotion that's competitive with the others, and they're doing a good job. And we'll talk about the Crockett Cup, and they debut a new theme. They retired Into the Fire by Dokken. Either that or they didn't feel like paying for it anymore. And a new song debuts this week, too. So check it out every Saturday morning. At 9 a.m., it hits both the wrestling feed and PlaceBeNation.com. And check it out. Good listen.
All right. Speaking of a good listen, me and JT and D'Amato were back with a PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance episode. We had four episodes of Hardcore TV leading up to November to Remember of 1994. And in episode number four of the Special Relations, Callum, Ben, and Rory try and once again fail to finish their GWWE match list reveal. Maybe one day they'll make it through, perhaps. In another new podcast on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, me and Tim Capel and Jake Williams are PTBNXT. So we are doing a chronological deep dive of NXT TV starting with January 2014. I'm excited about this one because I love NXT, and I think it is a sort of a blind spot for some people in some of that early TV stuff on NXT. So I'm excited to track the careers of people that I love now and to see how everything evolves in the whole brand. So check that one out. I think it'll be a good one. We did that. We did two episodes on that first one, and I think we're going to increase to like three or four episodes per episode now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. On Row One, Seat One, Ben welcomes guest Micah Hughes on his latest episode. So, also, I want you to look at the PTPN pop feed so you can listen to the Hard Traveling Fanboys, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, The Year in Pop, Laughing Theater, DC4U, The Great Debate, Marvel Age, the Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, and a lot more on that feed. And if you just don't have anything else to listen to, you can check out my feed. It is called The Jenny Position. You can find Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, Telling Stories, The Journey Through Infinity, and more. Matt, you are on an episode of Freak Out Driving with me, and we watched Alien. Did you enjoy doing that?
Yes, I did. It was great. It was a great movie. Such a good movie.
You were fun on that show, and it was ridiculous, and we were silly, which is... Well, this is the point of that show.
Me? No.
Yeah. And then on Journey Through Infinity this week, we had the fourth chapter, which is Thor. Scott, we had some opinions about that movie.
Many.
Many opinions about it.
Fired up.
Yep. It was a good show. So check that one out too.
Definitely.
On our social media pages, you can find the greatest sitcom of all time tournaments. We are round three, getting towards the end. We still have four matchups per day. You can like the page so you can vote. You can also vote on the Twitter page. Y'all want to do some voting on today's matchups? They were kind of difficult, I think.
Sure.
All right. How about Arrested Development versus 2.5 Men? Arrested Development.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll be the outlier and go 2.5 Men.
Really? All right. Modern Family versus The Good Place. I never really got into Modern Family, and I've only ever heard good things about it, but also The Good Place just seems more my style. Even though I did never finish the first season. So I voted for it. Sound reasoning there.
I flipped a coin because I watch neither show. Mm-hmm. And Modern Family won, so I just voted for that.
All
right. I didn't want to leave it blank.
Yeah, I went Modern Family on that one. I've never seen Good Place.
I've never seen either one, so I abstained.
Didn't vote. Oh, yeah. Okay. This one I think is real hard. Veep versus Parks and Recreation. Yep.
This one broke my mind.
Yeah. I had to go Parks. I just had to.
Me too.
Same with me.
See, I had to go Veep.
See, I never watched Veep. I don't watch Veep. And
Veep
and I'm
is
assuming,
so good.
Oh, I'm assuming it's a great show, but oh, so I can't. Good. In good conscience, you just don't vote for a show. You
no,
watch.
Of course.
And Parks and Rec is fucking awesome. So easy.
The Big Bang Theory versus My Name Is Earl. That one was kind of hard for me because I did like them both at times, and then they both had rough endings, like towards the end of their runs. So, In the end, I voted Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I voted My Name Is Earl.
Really?
Mostly just to spite my parents.
Wow.
They yes, that's pay. Right. I'm in my mid-30s and still acting like a 14-year-old.
Not surprised. a lot of us do that. So, all right. So make sure you get on the end of that because it's kind of winding down. So we ballot stuffing aside, can maybe come up with a winner for that tournament. And we have officially kicked off the 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. This is in my wheelhouse, and I already know number one. So you have all year to do your research, though. Promote your matches and build your list. You can find the rules and the conversation on the Facebook page. So just go to facebook.com/GWCW matches. And then you can also find that on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Also, don't forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report this week in the WWE by John Crow, Polly's perspective, Jason's DVD deep dive, and Ben's unpopular opinion. Also, we have veteran columns like Glenn Butler's weekly walk around the web. If you're doing online shopping, you can click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. So that is that for everything that's current for Place to Be Nation, and then we can also plug other things at the end of the show. But before we do that, we need to talk about something else in the Hidden Gem section. It is the AWA pilot from October 23rd of 1989. You can find this one if you search AWA and then go to the Hidden Gem section, and then you see a picture of Vern with his dog. And it's very scenic, I assume on his palatial estate. So you will also see an opening number by a bunch of girls in a bikini, which I think is probably better than the Vern talking part.
Speak for yourself.
What do you guys think about this this start to AWA Team Challenge Series?
It's really going towards two different sections of the wrestling audience.
Kind of is.
Old man with his dog and women in bikinis. That's, you know, there's not a lot of cross section there.
No. Very small. Dirty old man and yeah, that was rough. That was rough. This half hour makes even less sense than fucking the thing we just watched. This made even less sense, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. But somehow.
But equally as entertainingly delicious, but no sense whatsoever. I blame that fucking sleazeball in the... Well, you'll get to them in a minute, but... Yeah.
Those cheerleaders said, yay, yay, yay for the AWA.
Then you have the random camera cuts to some Guns N' Roses knockoff band.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awful.
Which we never see.
No. I wonder if it was cut out because of rights issues, you know.
Yeah, probably.
Vern wasn't paying for that. Fuck that.
Gotta pay Pistols and Tulips or whatever their band name was. Right.
Sounds like a cover band that plays at the fucking bar down the street from the Road Warriors gym.
Oh my god!
Pistols and Tulips.
Where's my pen? I need to write that down, Maddie. All right. So then we go to probably my favorite part of the show, which is I think it's supposed to be the control room of some majors. It looks like a NASA type setup that they got going on here because they're at the cutting edge of technology. Greg Gagne and Ralph Stranius. Am I saying that right? I don't know.
There's no way that's his real name.
I don't know.
What a fucking sleazebag. Oh, my God. I just wanted to deck that guy. Oh,
so,
God.
So he's not a wrestler, right?
Oh, no. He's some fucking...
he's the AWA world champion at the time.
All right. So they're in, like, matching...
Give David Arquette a run.
Matching wind suits in this... control room, and they sound like a bunch of morning DJs. Like, this Ralph guy has the cheesiest voice I've ever heard, and they're just like going on and on and like using these like buzzwords, and the camera gets like super close up on their faces. Why? They never show us the whole room, but they show us like the pores in their noses. It's like, I can't unsee this now. I just, y'all know how I am. I want to like come at this with a weird, like, blank slate. And I was like, what the fucking fuck is this? After I'd already watched the breakfast cereal, which I thought made a lot more sense than this. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
This is garbage. No,
this is ridiculous.
That guy's a fucking sleazebag.
Owner's kid and ventriloquist dummy calling the action.
Oh.
Ventriloquist dummy. In matching wind suits.
Jesus.
Yeah, the chicks dug that.
So what it is, I guess we should kind of set up what this pilot is. Vern talks about it, and then these two talk about it. So this is 1990 now. The AWA is in a terrible financial position. And they pitched this pilot as this new revolutionary wrestling program for the next decade. And so there's going to be they pitched the famous AWA Team Challenge series, which they go forward with. And so there's three teams. It's three teams, right? Larry's yes. Legends, Sarge's Snipers, and one other. What's the other one?
Baron's Blitzers.
Baron's
Blitzers.
So there's the three different teams, Larry Zbysko, Sergeant Slaughter, and Baron Von Raschke. And they are going to be fighting each other, and they're going to be earning points. And mixed in with this, there's going to be these ladies boxing each other. There's going to be heavy metal music. So they're really, really pushing this as this brand new, exciting thing, which, you know, we'll see how that turns out. But yeah, that's the premise of the show that we're watching. Right?
Yeah. There's really nothing else.
Yeah.
Did Jenny give up on this because she thought it really didn't make that much sense?
I was talking and I was muted. So, they go from them to to this ring set up in this dark room. I assume there's no crowd here.
There is no crowd.
No crowd. Okay. I don't understand how wrestlers wrestle without a crowd. I don't know. I've just never seen it. Like, I don't get it. And before they show the ring, they have like this weird effect where it's supposed, I don't know what it's supposed to look like a walkway or something, and they have these graphics
like
up of like a like a crowd on either one, and then it's like green screen in the back. I'm like, what? It's like they took all the stock crowd footage from like an Applebee's or something, and
yeah, like a comedy club
or something. I don't know. All
and
these...
did you notice the crowd? The video was sped up on the crowd. It was like a Benny Hill bit.
But then when they are, you know, showing the match, which is the first one is Tommy Jammer versus Tom Burton. Then they really hype up this slow-mo effect. So they're showing off all their technology. So whenever they do these basic-ass moves, they put it in slow-mo so that it maybe looks cooler, perhaps. But, yeah, it's very odd. Talk to me about this wrestling without a crowd thing. Why are we doing this?
Because no one would want to come and see the AWA in 1990.
I think the wrestlers were probably used to it. Everyone was at the Pistols and Tulip show. I think mostly because they were treating it like a TV show, so it was almost like a studio audience, not really like an arena per se. So I think it was just like cheap studio nonsense is probably what it came down to. You know, and plus these matches were even worse choreographed than the fucking serial matches.
Yeah, this was bad wrestling.
Yeah, it really was.
The breakfast cereal thing was just real basic wrestling. Mm-hmm. This was poorly performed.
Yeah, it was bad. Bad choreograph right there.
Tommy Jammer, a man's man and a lady's dream. I'll tell you what. Yeah. That sure does seem right.
Bruh. He needs a wind jacket.
Yeah.
He looks like Meathead number 78.
Exactly.
It's just real hard to talk about these matches because a lot of them feel like nonsense.
Yeah, I don't even think we need to, really. It was a squash match, like a minute-long squash. And,
right.
Yeah.
Got to give credit to the AWA, though, for being able to book Tim Burton's cousin. So.
Tom.
Come on,
Tom. Because it was a nightmare. Before and after Christmas.
So then they start doing promos. We got Sergeant Slaughter and who is this other guy?
Baron Von Raschke.
Baron Von. He looks like Gollum a little bit. Old ass Gollum.
Yeah.
With the bill ears and the bald head. And
he's like 80.
They're talking
very old here.
Yes, very old. Is Sergeant Slaughter really America's hero?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Just say G.I. Joe.
In AWA world, yeah, he was.
Yeah. Game ready was, yep.
So then they go back to those stupid-ass close-ups of Ralph and Greg. And then they start a promo for the Destruction Crew. In front of a screen that shows a hotel, the Curtis Hotel, being demolished. And then they're holding sledgehammers. Yep.
Now, Scott, I have to ask, as the Place to Be Nation's foremost Triple H historian, is this where he got the idea to use the sledgehammer?
Exactly, yes, because when he thought of the idols, he wasn't looking at Flair or Muda in 89, he was looking at the Destruction Crew swinging at a green screen. That's the way it works. What's crazy about this is, the concept was not utterly offensive. I mean, they were trying to put over... What they were doing was... I mean, it almost seems like they're trying to push this challenge series while at the same time trying to push this roster. But, I mean, by 1989, I don't even think we had hit 90 yet. I know you had said 1990, Drew, but I think the show was planned for 90.
Oh, okay.
So, but this was like October, I think, of 89.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right.
In October of 89. But I think the show was planned. But you're right, though, that the show and the challenge series, well, it started in 89 and ended in 90. But this is just. I don't know how they could even afford a green screen, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm sure that cost some money, but.
And I mean, outside of Slaughter and Zabisco, they didn't really have any talent.
No, really? They all left.
I mean,
yeah.
They all went to either Crockett. Well, at the time now, I guess it was slowly becoming WCW. Or obviously they went to Vince. So there's nobody left here.
It was like Jake the Milkman Milliman. You know, he was one of the guys that was still around. And Tommy Jammer. And, oh, yeah, that's right.
Why didn't he wrestle on the breakfast show? His name is Milkman.
Exactly. Jake the Milkman. That's awesome.
Hell yeah. He could have been the ref.
Blew
that chance.
So the Destruction Crew, Mike Enos and Wayne Bloom, are tagging against Jerry Lynn and Ricky Rice. This ring is bouncy as fuck too.
This is totally cheesoid.
Yeah.
It's not real.
I mean, like it shakes, like you could hear it shaking and the ropes are just wobbling like noodles basically the whole time. All these guys basically all look exactly alike to me. They all have a form of a blonde mullet for the most part. You know, they all have pretty much the same build or whatever, but I did like the finisher, that top rope clothesline. So the Destruction Crew wins, and then you get to see a young-ass-looking Eric Bischoff. holding the mic for an interview at the end. So I was like, is that Eric? Holy shit.
With his frosted tips.
Did he have salt and pepper hair at like 20?
No, I think they were frosted.
Yeah.
Oh, that was definitely frosted.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. He definitely had frosted tips.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You could tell. Because it's not totally gray. It looks almost like beige. So, yeah. Definitely.
Now, was that the Jerry Lynn in that match?
It was, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Yep. That looks just kind of a cool little Easter egg there.
Yep, pretty much.
I will say, I think we're kind of underselling the entrance ramp or whatever you want to call it.
It's so hard to describe.
Yeah. I mean, it's impossible to describe. You need to go and watch it if you haven't seen it. Just watch the entrance because it's one of the weirdest things you'll ever see in a wrestling show.
They're walking through space and they're wrestling in the void.
Yeah. You know what it feels like? It feels like, I don't know if y'all know what this is, but the holodeck on Star Trek is like,
this
is like a blank room that could be anything. So that's what it looked like to me. And
that's a good description.
tremendous description. I agree.
It's just so off-putting. And I think I would be okay with it if it was just that look to it. But then they put those panels up of the crowd, and it just looks so fucking weird.
The non-existent crowd.
Yes. Like,
yeah. There's no effort to make it look realistic or anything.
No.
So that's the weirdest part.
But they keep trying to sell it as like technology based,
right.
Instead of like nobody's coming to see this shit based.
And the other thing we haven't mentioned yet either is they're wrestling in. You know, we mentioned that there's nobody in the crowd, but they keep cutting to a crowd shot at some random fucking dive bar somewhere in the Twin Cities.
Yes. And everybody looks hammered. And
oh yeah, they definitely look hammered.
And then they also played crowd music during the fucking match.
I mean, so, if they were at the Pistols and Tulip show, they would
definitely. Oh, yeah.
It was late night, baby.
Yeah.
Late night.
Wow. It's just, it's unlike anything I've ever seen before. For real. Like, that's it. Sort of trips me out. And then, of course, we go back to the Windsuit Twins. To their close-up, and then we get another Sergeant Slaughter promo where he introduces Colonel De Beers, which I'm unsure about the ranking system here, because I thought Colonel was like higher up than a sergeant, but I don't know. This is like Bizarro Land, so who knows what happens here, but
This isn't canon. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Well, and as we found out, Sergeant Slaughter is guilty of stolen valor anyways, so.
That is true.
Who is he to be given any instructions to Colonel?
Sure.
And he kind of takes it personally and warns him not to speak to him directly.
Wow.
Yeah. So, now comes the highlight of the night, in which we have a Beverly Hills Knockout. This is female boxing. I thought I had was like stroking off there for a minute. I'm like, why are we doing this right now? Was this like a component of their promotion, like chicks boxing?
Yeah, that's what they wanted. That's part of the future.
All right. So, we get kind of like a quick, like, I mean, everything's very quick, so nothing's very like explained as far as like who these people are. barely get their names. The Blonde Bomber versus Slaughterhouse Sean.
Shot.
Okay.
Shot.
I heard it both. I don't know. Yeah. Yep. So they box for a while and they hit each other and they're wearing bikinis and there's a crowd of bikini wearing ladies all around them. Pretty into it, you know, pretty into the boxing. And then they start wrestling out of nowhere. And then one of them gets knocked the fuck out. Mustang Sally comes in the ring in her fucking G-string at one point.
Yeah.
Thoughts on this, guys?
Well, the amount of hair... Oh, no.
I was going to say, these women had better work rate than the fucking matches before this, though. They were beating the
shit out of each other. That's just what I was going to say, Scott.
Holy shit. They were killing each other, these women. And the women on the outside teased hair and coked up noses. You want all the coke that the fucking sales guys weren't doing, all the women did, because they all looked like they were jacked out of their minds. Mm-hmm. And these two women were fucking killing each other. Man, oh, my God. There was no
stiff shots.
Yeah, there was no feigning punches here. Oh, no. These women were, like, losing their minds.
When you have a match that's sanctioned by the Beverly Hills Knockout Committee, I mean, you got to take it seriously.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And who was the one on the outside again?
Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally had a good performance as the manager, the heel manager.
Mm-hmm.
She was crazy.
Yeah. This was the best part on the show. Yeah. Like from a work rate standpoint.
From that standpoint is the one that you're gonna go with. Yeah. Okay.
The amount of hairspray in that segment, I think, single handedly put a hole in the ozone layer.
Yeah, that's what was
responsible for climate change here.
Were the ladies?
They're the reason why it's 70 degrees right now in Ventura, California.
Were the ladies in the crowd, were they also boxers? Is that why they were in their bikinis too? I couldn't tell if this was like a tournament type thing.
No, I think that guy Ralph just wanted to make them look like sluts.
Well, he did a good job. They're all hot.
Greg was hiding in the closet.
Yeah, Greg didn't know what to make of this.
No.
Greg was trying to talk about the rules. Hey, ladies, put your gloves back on. Oh, geez, Greg, pull your pants up.
Shield your eyes, Opie. This isn't for you.
Exactly. Go back to the cereal. Grown-ups.
Yeah, I'm just curious where they got these girls. They were all, you know, attractive, so at least, you know, somebody did their job. Well enough.
It was like every other segment on this show. It was very strange.
It was very strange.
It really didn't make any sense.
I'm sure there were some, quote, businesses in Minneapolis that these women were working at, most likely.
Mm-hmm. You mean like for General Mills?
Exactly. They were the moles. They were the moles.
We must attack the Beverly Hills Knockout Committee.
Oh my God, Kellogg's being infested with knockouts. Hey, whatever, English guy, shut the fuck up. She wants to sit in my lap, I'll give her any recipe and any fucking cereal you got.
All right. And then we go back to Ralph and Greg. Sort of a letdown after all that. And they explain the rules. And the team with the most points wins $1 million. Hey.
That was the funniest part of this whole thing, that the AWA had $1 million.
Oh, that was the greatest fucking kayfabe number of all time.
The standings at this point, Legends 16 points, Blitzers 15 points, and Snipers 13 points. But now they're going to go to a King of the Hill match, which I got excited for a minute because I thought he was going to say King of the Road match, but...
Oh, boy.
Jesus.
Then it turned out to be this, decidedly less exciting, with Paul Diamond, where he gives a weird promo in front of a planet.
from somewhere in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. With some weird sci-fi music in the background, and that was something. And then he goes to face Colonel De Beers in this King of the Hill match. I actually kind of like this. I liked De Beers' headbutt off the top rope. I liked the slow-mo turnbuckle spot where he smashed his face into the turnbuckle, and then we got to see it again in slow motion. It was pretty great. He gets Diamond with his head hanging off the apron and, like, chops his neck off, basically. There's a biting spot. But Diamond gets the win. I kind of wished it was a little bit longer. I like this match. I don't know. Yeah, I'm weird. And now I know that De Beers is racist, so maybe I should step back on some of that. Thoughts on this one, boys?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jenny. I think this was... It was pretty good. This was maybe the only match that we watched, you know, between the two shows that had, you know, some semblance of a story. Mm-hmm. And Paul Diamond, you could tell that he was a better promo than kind of a lot of the other guys. Sergeant Slaughter and all them not, but right. You know, Paul Diamond, he's a better wrestler than Tommy Jammer or mm-hmm. Larry Burton or whoever it was. So yeah, it was cool, you know, Colonel De Beers working the neck and the back, and I agree with you. I wish it was a little bit longer. The finish kind of came out of nowhere, but
yeah.
But besides that, it was cool. It was pretty good.
If I hear that goof Ralph say "punch the button" one more time during that show,
oh my god,
punch the button.
What does that? What does that mean?
He wants to see the slow mo.
Go to replay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Punch the button there, Greg. Shut up.
I'm still watching these knockouts. Greg, we're past that segment now.
Right.
Ugh. Rough.
Did they use the slow mo during the knockouts section at all?
Oh God.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't remember but I'll say yes, probably.
Well, I was going to say that would be a missed sleazy opportunity by Ralph there didn't. So,
because there was one girl, there was one knockout like in the back row who clearly, if she moved any further, the T-shirt was just going to come apart.
Oh dear.
So yeah, there was. I'm sure Ralph was really pushing for that.
Yeah, oh, push Ralph. That
button. He was punching the button. All right.
Yeah. What a fucking scumbag. Absolutely.
Anything else on this one? No? All right. So now it's the main event. Sergeant Slaughter versus the Terminator. This one I was less impressed with. There's a lot of stalking around, stalling. A lot of side headlocks. It's pretty hard hitting, though. And Sergeant Slaughter gets the win. I don't know. It was kind of blah for me. Kind of like the last main event from the Breakfast Show. Anybody else?
It's awful nice that they were able to get the Terminator from the Beyond Thunderdome Mad Max movie.
Yes.
Another big get for the AWA. And I got to tell, Slaughter playing to the non-existent crowd.
Yes.
Sure was a hell of a thing. You guys like what you see? Oh, there's nobody there. Never mind.
Maybe in his mind there was somebody out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
And just think, 14 months later, Slaughter would be World Wrestling Federation champion.
Great God.
After this fucking crap.
Maybe this is what gave him the idea.
Who's the Terminator? Who is that? What's his real name?
That's Mark Laurinaitis.
Oh, okay.
So that's Animal's brother.
Oh.
The other one.
Oh, God, brother. Really?
The other brother, yeah.
The loser brother?
I'm the Terminator. I'm the Terminator. The WWE Universe. I'm
People
Terminator.
Power! People power!
WWE Universe.
Yeah.
Unpleasant. Yeah. Eric comes out at the end of that one. Too for the interview. Still trying, kind of trips me out to see young ass Eric, you know, even though I hate him. Anyway, I'd rather see young ass Tony, but anyway. I guess we can do some awards for this show. They were Diamond Award for favorite match, Beverly Hills Knockouts for sure.
Hell yeah, not even close.
Yep. I like the Colonel De Beers match.
I did too, but I can't let those girls go unnoticed, you know. Worst match.
Everything else.
The Tommy Jammer match.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
MVP.
Slaughterhouse Shot.
I was leaning towards her or Mustang Sally.
Yeah. They were both good.
Mustang Sally was easily the most coked up of all of them in that scene. Easily.
Yeah.
I went with the dog from the intro.
Yeah, good call.
Because seemingly that was the only being not involved with the production of this thing.
Yeah. He was probably sitting in Vern's lap going, "Please drown me."
He looked miserable, huh? We'll say.
You're doing what? Oh, Christ.
The state's gonna take me too. You'll be living in my doghouse.
The Opal Award for highlights. Oh my god. The windsuits on Ralph and Greg. They were awful.
Very 1989.
Yeah. The girls, of course. That's it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So one thing we didn't mention that was Johnny Valiant at one point had a promo post-match. Mm-hmm. And I have a transcript here of what he said.
Oh, and, please read that.
In other words, every manager promo he ever had. For all fucking 7 years he was in between the WWF and AWA.
So now, as we wrap the show up here, this is like an old man's fever dream, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Gotta be.
Yep. Like, absolutely.
Is this what an old person thinks what MTV was?
You know, I think it is, because you got like the VJ sort of deal with them narrating it, and then you have these weird graphics. And then Hot Chicks, you know, I think it is.
And the quick clip of the music, the hair metal, and
It's
an 80-year-old man's interpretation of MTV.
What's cool. Yeah,
I agree.
Imagine taking this show to a meeting with TV executives.
And did this pilot get picked up?
I don't even think it aired anywhere.
Yeah. No. I mean, they had TV in 1990, and they did the Team Challenge series, but it wasn't this.
It wasn't like this?
There was a pink room that they wrestled in.
With a crowd or no crowd?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I don't even remember. I don't even think there was a crowd in that one. I could be wrong, but I'm not sure either. Maybe one match from that, so.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So it's like this one, the execs were like, there's no way in fucking hell we're ever making this into a TV show.
Yeah, we gotta dial it back a bit.
Yeah, and then they're like, fuck you, we'll just go wrestle in a pink room.
Yeah.
Yep.
At least it'll be cheaper. Yeah.
And Ralph vanished.
Well, that was an experience. It really was.
Yeah.
I think these shows are worth a watch. I mean, just to see how out of control they are.
Oh, absolutely.
They're completely fucking absurd.
Yeah.
But they're both under an hour. It's a lot of fun, just weird stuff bouncing all over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really recommend them.
And like Scott said earlier, it just shows you the state that the AWA was in.
Yeah.
Just a complete fucking mess from top to bottom.
Yeah, no, it was all about the money for them. That's really what this was.
All right. Welp, that will do it for Jenny and the Gems. How about we talk about what we've got going on? What you doing, Drew?
Well, I've got, I believe, a You Don't Know Billy Jack episode. Should be out very soon. Jordan and I watch the very famous match, Misawa and Kobashi versus Tawe and Kawada from 6/9/95. That's a very, very fun show because just really hearing Jordan's reactions to, you know, what is legitimately probably the greatest match of all time. It's one of my favorite episodes that we've done, and that should be out, I believe, February 5th as we're recording this.
Yes, that is correct.
All right. Sir. Very good. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at _ burning spirits.
Matt?
You can, as we mentioned before, on the Jenny position, I was on the Freak Out Drive-In where we watched Alien. I was on an episode of Laugh-In Theater where we watched Anchorman, a fine piece of cinema history. Mm-hmm. And as always, check out the weekend playlist. It goes up every weekend. Music for your weekend listening. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at msouza1991. And it's going to be mostly angry baseball tweets lately as we record this. Mookie Goddamn Betts was just tweeted. So if you like reading angry baseball tweets, I'm the guy to follow.
All right. How about you, Scott?
You can follow me on Twitter at PTBPodfather. And I have fine shows across all three feeds, both Place Be Nation Wrestling, the Pop feed, and of course the Jenny position. Three great feeds, plenty of great shows. Check them all out.
Yeah, there you go. Follow me on Twitter at Jenny Position. Like my Facebook page, leave a review. And coming up, we should have an episode of Geek and Sassy. We have a lot of TV to cover, so we talk a lot about that. And we also discuss whether we have an internal monologue or not. So it's a very interesting episode of Geek and Sassy. And Talking Pop should be coming up fairly soon as well. So check all those out. But thank you so much for listening to Jenny and the Gems. You can't put your niche, the magic in delicious. Yeah, something like a charm.
Snap, crackle, pop, snap, crackle, pop, snap, crackle, pop, snap, crackle, pop, pop.